After New Year's, Ovitz's wife and children returned to Los Angeles. Ovitz was too humiliated to face anyone in Hollywood. He stayed in Aspen alone for another month. He never set foot in his Disney office again. 11. Ovitz's departure from Disney was front-page news in Los Angeles and New York on December 13, 1996. Eisner issued a statement saying, "I will miss Michael's energy, creativity, and leadership at Disney. We have been doing business together while being friends for many years, and I know that both our personal and professional relationships will continue." Disney made no mention of how much it would cost to settle Ovitz's contract. Although the terms of Ovitz's departure would have to be made public eventually in SEC filings, Eisner was under the impression that Ovitz had promised not to disclose them. He was thus irked to see major news accounts reporting that Ovitz would receive $50 million in cash, plus options on 5 million shares, then valued at $40 million, for a total of $90 million. Ovitz actually received $38 million in cash. Depending on how the options were valued, the deal was potentially worth far more than $90 million. The consensus figure was $140 million. Beginning with a piece in that Saturday's New York Times, Eisner was infuriated by the perception that Ovitz himself, as well as sources close to him, were spinning the story in Ovitz's favor. Bernard Weinraub, writing in the Times, said, "Already yesterday, Mr. Ovitz's associates and even some foes were reshaping his image from that of the Disney president who floundered to that of a man put in an untenable position by Mr. Eisner." In a withering attack on Ovitz in a December 16th email to John Dreyer, Disney's head of PR, Eisner stated his decision to strike back through an exclusive interview with John Huey of Fortune magazine. "John, I agree with you. I will talk to John Huey and discuss with him an article sometime in the March area. I will talk to the others just to say I am not talking on the record or off the record for a while. I want to see what spin MSO puts on the whole thing. Nobody has got the two main points. One, he is a psychopath. Basically, he has a character problem. Too devious, too untrustworthy, and only out for himself. In other words, his problems started and ended with a character problem. Two, totally incompetent. Nobody has either of these two points correct, but let's just wait and see what's happened." Not surprisingly, the press felt Eisner had been something less than truthful on the many occasions, including the Larry King show, when he had publicly denied that there were any problems between him and Ovitz. The Los Angeles Times' Claudia Eller was especially miffed. "Is it any wonder people are so cynical about what comes out of the mouths of Hollywood's most powerful movers and shakers when they have no compunction about intentionally misleading the news media and their shareholders?" She noted that in an interview with the Times in September, Eisner used the word ludicrous four times to describe rumors of a rift. Still, director Ray Watson loyally defended Eisner in the article, saying Eisner's public comments about Ovitz were the proper thing, and I applaud him. Eisner steadfastly maintained that Disney wasn't paying Ovitz one penny more than he was entitled to under his contract, given that Ovitz's firing was deemed a non-fault termination. Yet this put Eisner in an awkward